I will say I am going to therapy. I'm going to therapists here in town at the McPherson Hospital, and she seems to know what I need here, and we're doing a lot of massaging. I have exercises I do. She says what the radiation did, it caused scar tissue and fibrosis in this masseter muscle, your facial muscle. And what happens over time, it gets to where it's like tangled up spaghetti. And so what she does and what I try to do is do a lot of massaging, trying to straighten that out and different things. And hopefully over time, it'll eventually get worked out and go away. So anyway, it helps. Sometimes it makes it worse for a while. Sometimes it makes it better. What's interesting, the cramping has moved from the middle of my cheek down to my lower part of my jaw. So I guess it just doesn't like where it was at, so I had to move another place, you know. So I'm chasing it. Hopefully I'm chasing it away and it'll get out of here. But sometimes I get encouraged, sometimes I'm not very encouraged. So thank you so much for praying about that. But we are working on it, and we'll see in time how it goes. The young people may be dismissed to Children's Church, and I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, we're going to read verses 18 to 21, and then we're going to turn to Matthew 1, verse 20. But our text is in 1 Peter. The main part of this message is going to focus on what we read in 1 Peter 1, especially verse 20. So 1 Peter 1, 18, and let's stand together and follow along as I read. 1 Peter 1 and 18. For as much then, I'm going to turn my mic on now, Randall, I'm sorry. Okay, he's back there trying to turn this and I forget to. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I'm going to repeat that. He was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And now Matthew 1, verse 20. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and grab my chair. It's going to put me lower. I'm going to become shorter. But I think it does maybe help me a little bit. So bear with me. I'm trying to be entertainment as well as preacher here. You know, I feel like we're going to have just a little talk now this morning, okay? I've gone from preaching to talking. We'll see. I don't know if it helps or not, but it seemed like maybe it helps me relax. And Matthew 1, 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Now Peter said he was manifest. Matthew says, she shall bring forth. Kind of similar ideas here. He appeared, he was manifest, he shall bring forth. She shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Shall bring forth, shall be with child, shall bring forth God with us. He was manifest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege now of just looking at these wonderful, amazing verses of Scripture that tell us a story of how Jesus came and he came to die. I pray, Lord, you would just reveal yourself this morning through your word, maybe in a way that we have never seen before. May our hearts be touched. May our hearts be drawn ever closer to you, Lord. Forgive us. us for our sin. Forgive us for our rebellion and our coldness of heart, Lord. And warm our hearts with your presence. Convict us where we need it, Lord. And draw us ever closer to yourself. Have your way now. Help me as I preach, Lord. And help us all as we listen to your voice through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All I can say is, what a wonder. What a wonder. Indeed, I wonder as I wander out under the sky how Jesus, the Savior, did come for to die. He did come for to die. And so it ought to cause us to wonder, how could that be? We read Mary brought forth. But she brought forth he who had never been brought forth before, because he had always been. He had always been. Jesus came from eternity. So how could he be born? How could he be brought forth? And yet he was born. He came down to the world from heaven, and from eternity past, he was manifest. He appeared. He who had no beginning and no end, he who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, was brought forth. He was brought forth. Our minds can't grasp that. How could the Eternal One be brought forth? Galatians 4:4 says it this way, but when the fullness of time was come, God set forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He was sent forth, and yet he was made of a woman. You see, as a man, as a human being, he was made. As God, he simply was brought forth. Mary brought forth he who had been sent forth. He was in the form of God, but then was made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:6-7. We sing, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come. Offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Please with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. God incarnate, God made flesh, God became a man, God appeared. He appeared. God appeared. What would it have been like to have been there with those shepherds and those magi who came and witnessed the entering into the world of God himself? He was unveiled. He was manifest. John writes in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Declared him. Made him known. That's the idea of declared. Made him manifest. No one had ever seen God, but we see God when we see Jesus. He was born to die. He came to die. He took upon himself a body so that he could die in that body. That's why. We read that in Hebrews 10, verse 4 and following. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. See, God prepared a body for his Son to take on, to be manifest in. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. And then verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the what? Of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once. Only once. He died once. We're saved once. Never needing to be saved again, because one offering was sufficient. Someone said, the birth of Christ brought God to man, but the cross of Christ brings man to God. I like that. The birth of Christ brought God to man, but the cross of Christ brings man to God. Hebrews 9:26 says, "Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." He appeared. He was born and laid in that manger. Why? To offer himself a sacrifice. He appeared so that he could take upon his own body my sins. You know, it's fascinating, it's wonderful, it does a person good to just meditate on that. Lord, you came, you were born in order to go to the cross and lay down your life for me. For me. I'm not worthy. Why? How could you love me so? He appeared to be my scapegoat. He appeared to bear my sins away forever, and he took them outside the camp. You realize that? He took your sins away. He died outside the camp. He died outside the city of Jerusalem. He took my sins so far away that no one can accuse me of guilt ever again. I have been declared not guilty so that no one, not even the devil, can bring up any charges against me. He appeared so that he could die in my place with every single one of my sins in and on his body. He took every one of them. Every one of them. There's not a sin that I have committed that he did not bear, that he did not pay for. He appeared so that he could die in my place with every single one of my sins in his body. And my sins were so wicked and so horrendous that they put him to death. My sins killed Jesus Christ. My sins had a part in his death. This perfectly spotless, holy, sinless, undefiled Savior loved me so much that he willingly humbled himself. He willingly emptied himself. He divested himself of the royal robes of majesty on high, and he came down, 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 down to corruption, down to rebellion. He took up residence in a humble maiden's womb, and he was born into this sin-cursed world. And he was born a man, yet without sin. He had no sin. He tabernacled among us as one of us. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And he touched thousands of needy, searching sinners when he lived his life on this earth. Thousands upon thousands. He spoke marvelous truths to sinners. He fed them. He healed them. He walked among them as one of them. He loved them. He loved them. When you read the Gospels, that's all that you see is his love. He loved them. He loved them. He loved them. He loved the wicked. He loved the lame. He loved the blind. He loved the outcasts. He loved the lepers. He loved the Gentiles. He loved those which no one else wanted to even touch. He loved them, and he fed them, and he healed them. And his love was of such surpassing greatness that he willingly went to the cross and bore our sins, and he carried our sins away. He bore our sins. And he had never, ever, think about this, he had never, ever, from all eternity past, personally experienced sin. Jesus Christ had never personally known what sin was in his body. Well, from eternity past, he didn't have a body. But then he took a body and he still didn't know what sin was personally by experience until it was all put on him on the cross. He had never known sin until he took it all, until he literally became sin and became the sin offering to God the Father. And the sin was so black and so wicked that God the Father had to turn his face from his Son because of the sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wow. He did it so you would be righteous. He did it so you could go to heaven. That's love. Who verily, 1 Peter 1:20 again, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Wow, I love that. I've been looking at Peter lately. I'm thinking of possibly preaching a series of messages on Peter. I'm still not sure, but in reading it, and I think it was while we were over Thanksgiving time, I was reading and I came on this verse and I thought, you know, that's what Christmas is all about. He was manifest. That's what the incarnation is all about. He was manifest. And I thought, maybe there's a message here. And I just got to thinking and meditating on it. And I started writing some things down. And the Lord just gave me a message. And I thank him for that. But it was such a blessing to me. These very familiar truths, and yet truths we tend to overlook or neglect or not really grasp. And I still can't grasp it. And I can't convey to you what is really here. We'll only really perfectly realize it when we get to heaven. Then we'll know the price. We'll know the humility. We'll know the cost. We'll know the sacrifice. And we'll know the love. And now we experience that love by faith through his word, don't we? But what a blessing. Here it is. The birth of Christ, the Christmas story in 1 Peter 1:20 right here. He was manifest. He came down. He came to rescue, to save, to redeem, to buy us out of the marketplace of slavery to sin. And in greatest humility, he emptied himself. And you wonder, how could God empty himself? I mean, I can't empty myself. I try. You try. We battle pride, self-righteousness, sin, and we want to get rid of it, but we can't. We can't. The old man is so powerful, but he did. He emptied himself of his royalty. He didn't have to, but he desired to make it possible that we could have fellowship with the God that we rejected, the God that we hated, that we said no to. And marvel of marvels, wonder of wonders, God sent his son. God prepared a body for his son, which was made in the likeness of you and me, the likeness of men. John 1:1, in the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. We beheld God in the flesh. In John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The Son manifested, declared, made known for the whole world to see God's love, God's grace, God's salvation. In Matthew 4:16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Oh, how we need light today, don't we? We need light. We don't need America to be made great again. We need God to be great, don't we? We need light in this world of darkness. Isaiah 9:6, a son is given. Time out. I've done pretty good though, haven't I? You that are wondering, it's right here. Okay. I read John 1:1, 1:14, 1:18, and then Matthew 4:16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up, sprung up. Isaiah 9:6, a son is given. Luke 1:32, he would be called the Son of the Highest. That holy thing, the Son of God, Luke 1:35. God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. Emmanuel, God with us, Matthew 1:23. And listen to the Holy Spirit speak in Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin or made purification for our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He was humbled, but then he was glorified when he sat down on the right hand of God. The one by whom he made the worlds became the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. The babe, Luke 2:12. The child, Jesus, Luke 2:43. The sent of the Father, John 10:36. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord, Luke 2:11. A lamb without blemish and without spot, 1 Peter 1:19. The root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, Revelation 22:16. The bread which came down from heaven, John 6:41. I'm come as a light into the world, John 12:45. A great light, Isaiah 9:2. The life which was the light of men, a light to lighten the Gentiles, John 1:4 and Luke 2:32. The day spring from on high, Luke 1:78. The holy child Jesus, Acts 4:27. The salvation of God, Luke 2:30. Friends, you and I need to understand and get a good grasp of the amazing fact that he left the Father's throne for you. He left it for you. He came from heaven's glory. He stepped out of the habitation of eternity, of the eternal, of the glory, into time, into the God-hating, God-rejecting, rebellious, sin-cursed earth and its people. He left it all. And became a man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief for your sins, for you. That's what the birth of the baby Jesus is about. And it's wonderful. We ought to celebrate it, shouldn't we? It's marvelous. The taking away of sin by sacrifice, a body prepared to be slain, to be offered as a lamb whose throat was slit, so to speak, causing the lifeblood to run out all over the altar of sacrifice. You see, it's the blood. He took upon himself a body that had blood. And it's God's way, the only way. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Through his flesh, through his blood. Man was looking for redemption. When Jesus came during that time, the Jews were looking for redemption. They were looking for a redeemer. They were looking for a savior. They were looking for the Messiah to deliver them from oppression. And he would come to them and for them and bring about a far greater deliverance than some temporal governmental deliverance. You see, that's what they were looking for, a king to reign over them physically. And he came to reign over them spiritually, and to bring about a greater deliverance than what they could have ever dreamed of. A deliverance from sin's curse, from Satan's bondage, from man's fleshly depravity. To those in darkness, a light has come, a redeemer, a savior, God with us, God appearing. That's what we celebrate, God appearing. And again, Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, and yet without the woman's sin. without her sin nature, holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, made under the law, but perfectly obedient to the law, and indeed would fulfill the law. Again, 1 Peter 1:18, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. If you want an outline, number one, precious blood. Number two, precious appearing. Number three, precious resurrection. Precious blood. We were redeemed with precious blood. Redeemed not with corrupt, rotting, filthy religions of works, but redemption came by blood. The precious, precious, priceless blood of the Lamb. And not any Lamb, but the very Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The blood of Christ, foreordained and now manifest, now revealed, now unveiled to the world. And again, wonder of wonders and marvel of marvels, this God who can never die but ever lives, died. How could God die? But this God died. He shed his blood. What other religion, what other God would make such an unthinkable sacrifice? Precious blood. No other blood would do. No other sacrifice would do or would be sufficient. Redeemed with precious blood, value beyond all values. That child born, the babe in the manger, was the Lamb given whose blood pumping through his veins was spotless and blemishless, perfect, pure, and sufficient when shed in every way. But verse 20 of 1 Peter 1 says, he was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, how could that be? He was ordained beforehand. It was ordered beforehand. He was selected from eternity past. So in other words, it was no accident. It was not a plan that God thought of at the last minute to save the sin-cursed world. That marvelous plan was made from eternity past. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, 1 Peter 1:20. Christ is the eternal purpose of God. You see, I never really thought about this that much before, but I believe it was before the creation of the world that Christ was predestined for the work which was given him to do. Before the creation of the world. What amazing thought and truth. We sometimes think of God as creator and then redeemer. But it's the other way around. Having created, we think of him as having created the world, and then when things went wrong, he had to find a way to rescue it through Christ. But here we see the vision of God as redeemer before he was creator. His redeeming purpose was not an emergency to rescue men from the unforeseen catastrophic fall. It goes back to the ages and ages and ages before creation. This was foreordained. In other words, God knew before, foreknowledge. God devised this plan of atonement for sin before he created the world. Now, how far before? One day? One week? One month? 1 year, 10 years, 100 years? How about try 100 trillion years before? Maybe in the beginning, God devised the plan of creation and plan of redemption, but was manifest. God was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. God appeared, he was revealed, he was shown, he was manifest, which means to make clear, make known, visible. This word is used in 1 John 3:2, where we read, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. You see, Jesus is going to appear again one day in all his glory. That same word is used in that he was manifest in the flesh. He was manifest as a babe in the manger. And it's used to describe Christ after his resurrection as the one who appeared numerous times to his disciples. So, precious blood. It is so precious. Foreordained from eternity past. And then his precious appearing. as his precious appearing. We see his preciousness, which means costly, valuable, of great worth, in the great truth of his incarnation. He who came from before the foundation of the world was incarnated. He was made flesh. He appeared. He was manifested. And this was a real, actual, historical event. He appeared at a moment in time in history. In these last times, the period we now live in, between his first and second coming. He was chosen in eternity past, Jesus was, and he was revealed in time. He came into time from eternity. This is the incarnation through the miraculous birth through the Virgin of giving birth to Jesus Christ. And he was manifested for you. He was manifested for you. For the world, yes, but specifically for the yous and me's of the world. Each one of us, one by one. And you are eternally significant to him. You are of eternal value to him. You must be, because he shed his eternal blood. The blood of God was shed for you. For unto you this day is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, Luke 1. Unto you, Christ came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15, like you, you qualify. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness, John 12:46. Are you among the whosoever's? Whosoever will may come. For whosoever, he died for the whosoever's of this world. He was born for you, he appeared for you, he shed his blood for you, and he was raised for you. And that brings us to the third point, precious resurrection. Who by him, 1 Peter 1:21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. In 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. He was manifest in the flesh, his appearing, received up into glory, his precious resurrection. God's love is manifest in the manifestation of his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:16. And John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, that's you, yet he shall live. That can be you if you're not saved. You are among the whosoever's. Will you come? Will you be saved? Precious appearing, precious blood, precious resurrection. Are they precious to you? They need to be. They ought to motivate us to live our all for him every hour of every day. The preciousness of his appearing and his blood, his resurrection. Do you love the lover of your soul? Do you show you love him by your devotion and by obeying his word and serving him? If not, why not? And if not now, when? When? Tomorrow? Oh, there's always tomorrow. There's not always tomorrow. You see, tomorrow never comes, does it? Today, give your heart to the one who gave it all for you. Let's pray. Our Lord, thank you for your word, and the preciousness, the value, the richness, the eternality of the world, of the word which has been given to us and which shall never be taken away, but your word will endure forever. I thank you, Lord, for the coming of Jesus Christ into this world, the joy of the angels, the marvel of the magi, the wise men, the rejoicing among the angels of heaven, and then the evangel, the good news that was spread throughout the world and is still being spread today. I trust we are a part of that dissemination of the word, the great news that Jesus came into this world, and he was born to die for our sins, and he gives eternal life to any and all who believe. Lord, I pray if there be any this morning here who do not know Christ, that they'll come to him. If we who know him have neglected him, may today be a day of renewing our faith and recommitting our lives to you. Have your way now as we close, Lord. Bless us with these precious truths throughout this Christmas season. And have your way now as we close. In Jesus' name, amen.